One of the TV shows that I actually like, and I don't even know whether we don't have TV right now. We just watch online and internet and all that stuff. But on one of them, I think it's on Netflix, they have this one series is Comedian in Cars Getting Coffee. I know whether some of you know that. I'm not so much interested in comedians, but I'm interested in the cars. And the one who is hosting this show is Seinfeld, Jerry Seinfeld. And he supposedly has one of the most impressive collection of cars. Nobody really knows exactly what kind of cars he all has, but he has one of the best collections that I heard of Porsche cars. So, and he then goes with one of his cars and picks up another comedian, and then they have time and coffee and chat. And I had to think about that, and actually during my vacation last several weeks, we had the occasion with my son, and we talked about, you know, who, if you would have the chance to have coffee with someone, who would that be? Any kind of celebrity? Any kind of person that you would want to just spend coffee or even the whole day with? Who would that be? Sometimes you would just have right away a name in your head and you think, oh, I would love to spend time with that person. Or you would have to think hard and say, I don't even know, you know, who I really want to spend time with. And my question then also would be, what is our expectation? I mean, that day could either be a great success or it could go totally sour. And it usually has to do with my expectations, you know, on that person, that I have some ideas what the person is like, and then I'm totally disappointed that that person might not be like that, or the day goes sour. So there's so many variant things that can make this day break or it may fail. So how about spending a time with Jesus? I don't know when you heard that title or read the title that we talk about this, spending a day with Jesus. I got some mockings in my office this week, and they said, well, it sounds like this old song, you know, when I go into the garden alone, you know, and this thing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. Whatever. You know, it is a serious proposal that I want to share with you this morning as we wrap up our summer series on a good life. And I would suggest to live a good life has a lot to do that I spend my life with Jesus. And my life is actually the sum of my days. I can have great plans and views about spending the life with Jesus. If it does not translate into my daily walk, it's just talk. Life is days, days that I live, and not the days that I set aside like Sunday morning, like today, and this is a special day, and I spend the time at least in the morning with Jesus, and then I go home and have coffee, and then we have the first fight in our family. It doesn't happen to you, does it? But that's life. But I mean now our everyday life. How about spending my normal day with Jesus? Because a good life cannot be lived without Jesus to be my shepherd. Remember Psalm 23? Is it still in your heads, in your minds? The Lord is my shepherd. And if that's true, I have everything I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I go with him through my day. I go with him through my life. And as I learn to do that, I will experience what David wrote down in this psalm, that he will makes me lay down in green pastures. It's peace, it's rest, contentment. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He cares for my soul, what's going on here in my heart that sometimes nobody sees, all the turmoil, all the thoughts, the questions, the doubts. He restores my soul. And yes, he even walks with me through dark valleys. But friends, if we don't do it and learn to do it every day, we won't do it. It's just a theory, just a good idea. And Christianity, my and your Christian life, boils down to our everyday life, how you spend it. Now, as we talk about living a life or living our daily life with Jesus, there might be some other questions that come into our mind when we just talk about this. You said, oh yeah, I do that. I start my day with a quiet time. I read my Bible and pray. And that's good. And I don't want you to ever miss that. That's an important thing. But when we talk about spending the time with Jesus and the day with Jesus, we just often made it inadvertently just that we have our devotion in the morning and then our day happens. And not think twice about even what we thought and talked about this morning during our devotion because it's all gone and my day happened. So it's more like keeping Jesus at a distance and then call him in when I need him, and then something happens during the day. Oh, Jesus, you know, here, man, there's a problem. But so keeping him more at a distance and where I live my life and determine when I have time for him rather than the other way around. So we have to think about this. If this is something I want to do, then we have to think about the question, how does it look like? Do I really? And there's a couple of questions that need to be answered before I do it. The first is, do I want it? It's so simple. Do I really want it? Do you want to spend a whole day with Jesus? See, we usually, as I said, we have several minutes that we give Jesus if we do so. And if we are really good, then we spend an hour on Sunday morning and have time for Jesus. And if we are really spiritual, we have a Bible study and we attend a Bible study and we have also that time for and the rest. And to be quite honest, I had to say it even for myself, many years, I even lived with this kind of inadvertently thought that Jesus has so very little to do with my day-to-day life. I mean, he's good for Bible studies, he's good for Sunday mornings, but you know what really goes on in my life when I'm at my workplace? He has no clue about that. I mean, what does Jesus know about computers? What does he know about business? Don't we think that way often? He is not competent in that area. He is just competent for the spiritual. But we always have to remember that Jesus lived a day-to-day life. He was a carpenter. He had a skill. He had 30 years that he lived in a normal profession like everybody else. And then all we know is the 3 years that he lived in public life as a rabbi. But he lived most of his life in a day-to-day job like you and me. And when he started to live his public life, he knew pretty well how life works, how to be a carpenter, how to run a business, how to be with customers. Because if all of that, what he lived 30 years before, was in contradiction with what he was 3 years when in public life, it would have come out very easily. Who are you, Jesus? Oh, we know you. You are the corrupt business guy who was just out for himself. It would have been easily known. But it seems to be there is coherence in his life that when he became a public figure, that what he talked and what he said and how he lived was in congruence with his former life. So, do I really want to spend my life with Jesus? Well, the other argument would be, you know, Jesus is there anyhow. I mean, I'm always in his presence, aren't we? We know Psalm 139, it says there, right from the Message, is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit or to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you are there. If I go underground, you are there. If I flew on morning wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're always there waiting. Yes, Jesus is always present. The question is, are you? Jesus is always present. God is always present. God is just like Jesus. He's present. But are you? It's just like this last week I read a book, and then there was one example that one guy was giving. He came home from work. And while he was still in his mind dealing with all of that, he plopped down beside his daughter, and they wanted to play some video games together. And while they just started interacting, his daughter all of a sudden turned to him and said, "Dad, are you home? Do you know how that is? Dad, are you home? You're not here. You're somewhere. You're not here with me." And we often catch ourselves when we want to spend time with Jesus, that we agree to that, but we're not there. We're not there at that place, at that space in our mind. So do you really want this? Do you really want to spend the time with Jesus? Do you want to take him into your day, into your job, into what you do there, how you are there, what kind of person you are there, and how your colleagues might even experience you? Do you want to take him into that and be with you, watch over your shoulder? The one who knows your life through and through. Another question we may want to answer before we get into one of those days is, does he want it? It's not so much, do I want it? Does he want it? Does Jesus want to spend a day with me? Isn't that one of the most boring things in life? I mean, to spend a day with me must be boring. Does he want it? Doesn't he have better things to do during the day than to spend time with me? But you see, even that is sometimes on our minds, although not we speak about it, but we sometimes think, oh, Jesus has better things. It's my boring, simple life. I'm just a small fly on the wall. I'm not much worth it. Does he want to spend time with me? Do we really believe that Jesus, we say it so often, that he loves us and that he likes us, that he likes and that he wants to spend time with you? that in fact he wants nothing more than spending time with you. That's the whole purpose for God to send Jesus, to tell you that very practically. Here is Jesus coming, becoming man, spending time among people to tell them, I love them. I want to spend time with them every single day. So if you do want to spend time with Jesus, and if you truly believe that he wants to spend time with you, that he wants to share the day with you, what can I expect? First, I would just simply say, be who you really are. So if I had to think back, let's say I spend a time with a celebrity, whoever that may be. The danger is that we are the way we are not really are. We play a role because we want to be good. You know, we want to be shown from the best side that we are. We want to be smart. We want to be witty. We want to be, you know, really spending good time with them. So we put a lot of effort how we appear. We might even think of what we dress and how we dress and what we do. But that often then is the first precursor for failure, for that old thing to go downhill, because we are not who we really are. And sometimes we even think we can do this with Jesus. Just pretend. Let's be good for a day. Let's not think the bad thoughts that I usually think. Let's not say the words that I sometimes say. He might be offended. Yeah, he might be, but don't pretend. You want to spend time with Jesus during the day? Don't be somebody different. Be who you are. Just don't control the things that Jesus is supposed to think about you. Isn't it what we spend a lot of time with, that we try to control what people think about us? And that's why we behave the way we behave and conduct our lives the way we conduct. But if we would just get it in our heads that I cannot pretend before Jesus because I live in his presence every day. So stop pretending. Just take him with you into this day the way you are, the way you are. Jesus always met people in their real life. Look at the stories of Jesus in the New Testament when he met people. It was during work days. That's when he called them to become fishers of men. He met that woman at the well that had five husbands and not really married and slept around and had a horrible moral life. And he met her right there, had a conversation with her. And she was not prepared for that. He just was there. And that's the way how Jesus meets you and me, the way we are, in all our messes, in all our sinfulness, in all the things that we bring to his table. We don't have to dress up. We don't have to clean up. We don't have to just pretend we're better. Just as I am. We sang this song in my youth so many times. Just as I am. That's how we go into his presence. And that's an interesting thing. As we prepare for that day, what I also can expect is that he is not just an onlooker and just watches. He's not just a little puppy that will follow me around as I go through the day. He may have something to say. He may have something to tell me. He may have something to share with me as I go through the day. At its best, it is a cooperative effort to go with Jesus through the day. He is not just a silent witness. He is the Lord of Lords, the Lord of my heart, the Lord of my life. And yes, he allows me to make decisions. He allows me to give me freedom to make choices, what I want to become, the job that I do, the way I do the job. I make those choices. And he joins me in that and wants to cooperate with me in this life. This is what actually discipleship is all about. It is a cooperation between God and his Spirit and my will to enter into this relationship with him. And this is how the day may turn out, that he may interact with me. We come back to that. So that's why also important that we spend an ordinary day with Jesus, not just a retreat. You know, we have a day off and we make a wonderful day out of that. And it's nothing wrong with it. I think we should do it way more often, but to take it in our day-to-day life. So Jesus will allow me to think. He will allow me to decide. He will allow me to plan. But it's for me to train myself to imagine how it is that Jesus is walking. And as I plan for this day, we'll come to that. We may have to find ways how we can remind ourselves. And there can be very simple ways how we remind ourselves that Jesus is with me. I know a family years ago, and you can read it sometimes in books that have done it too, but I know a family that always had an empty chair at the table. And it was very interesting to visit them because there was always this empty chair until they told me this is weird. Just to be aware that he's present when we eat, at our conversation at the dinner table. Do something similar as you think about this, to train yourself to understand that Jesus is going with me through the day, to have something that reminds you of that. There's so many other ways. Somebody put something in the pocket that whenever you put your hand in the pocket, oh yeah, you touch that and you find, oh Jesus. So whatever it is, we need to train ourselves to have Jesus being part of my day. And I don't know how the day will unfold, but the one thing that I hope will eventually be the outcome of a day like this is joy. Joy. If the Lord is my shepherd and he leads me through this day, then we might come to the second part of this Psalm 23, when he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies, when he anoints my head with oil, and when my cup overflows, and when he pursues me with his grace and mercy, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That might happen on an ordinary day, that I am in his temple, in his presence, and I will be filled with this inner sense of entire content no matter what happens. Now, as I all share this, it sounds so great. But let me give you one warning before we go into the practical steps of spending a day with Jesus. Let me tell you this one thing. It's messy. It's messy. It never works the way we plan. So be prepared for that. And that's okay. Life is messy. Life is never working out the way you plan, unless you are an exception. But it is different. It's difficult. There's other factors that come in during a day that I cannot control, that I have not power over, that happen, and they can happen on that day. It could happen that on that day, I wake up and I want to spend a day with Jesus and I have a pounding headache. Oh, here we go. Great day with Jesus. But you see, that is those things when it becomes messy and sometimes difficult and I cannot control these things. But let this not deter you. God is okay with that. He's okay with that. So here's a plan. And that's the first thing to do. We have to have a plan. You know, it's not starting right now that I say, oh, let's have a day with Jesus and let's ease our way into that and see how what happens to it. Won't happen. You have to plan it. And even those who hate to plan, just start with it. And I'll give you some points. Start to plan a day with Jesus. It's like a journey. So if you want to go on vacation, like we did camping, you know, last week. So if I go camping, I cannot just ease my way into the day and say, oh, I'm going to do today. No, there's a lot of stuff to do and to prepare. To get packed and to get ready and to put it all in the car and all the stuff that needs to be done. It's a lot of preparation that needs to get done to get a day or get the camping trip going. So if you want to spend a day with Jesus, you have to start when? It starts at sundown in the evening. It starts in the evening before that you start a day. See, it's a Jewish way of looking into a day. In a Jewish thinking, a day always started with the evening. Have you ever noticed the creation account? And it was evening, and it was morning, a new day. It starts with evening. And God created darkness that we can take rest. Just that electrical light bulbs have messed it up. You know, we can make a night a day. But in normal creation order, it starts that we have rest, that creation rests. And that's biblical. So start with sundown. Start with the evening before. And how you spend the evening before will largely determine sometimes, and not so sometimes, but most of the time, the next day. If you watch TV in the evening until the wee hours because there's just this special movie on, and you're tired in the morning, that's your problem. You know, Jesus is not taking that away from you because that's your choice. You chose to do that. And then don't complain in the morning that you're tired or you can't even sleep. If you drink coffee in the evening and you can sleep during the night, don't complain. See, it starts in the evening, how I go about the next. So start at sundown. Clear your calendar for the next day. Go to bed early. Make sure that everything is settled, that you have peace, that you have peace in the family, with your spouse, your children. Because even all that determines my inner well-being. So that you start, don't be angry, you know, past sundown. Let's clear this up. Let the next day start on a good foot, that you have done everything that needs to be done to start the next day with. And then secondly, rest in faith. Rest is a good thing. God invented sleep. We're allowed to sleep. And there is no pride in it to say how little sleep you need. I often find people there who say, oh, I only need 3 hours. Oh, I only need 2, and I don't sleep at all, you know. It's just this pride thing. We're so proud of that. I mean, there's nothing to be proud of. It is a creation of God. We need it. Our body needs it. And a not well-rested body and a not well-rested person is not a good person. Let me say it one thing, another way. Not having enough rest is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing because it influences your spiritual life, even your relationship with God, if you're not caring for your body. Or let's say it another way. Our body, the whole package of who we are is God's gift. And our body is, if you will, our energy pack. It gives you the energy to do what you want to do. It's resting in your body. You can have 1,000 ideas and wills and decisions. Your body gives you the strength to do your will, to execute your decisions. And your body is something that God has given you to take care of, to live healthy, to give your body rest, and to use it also as a tool that God has given you to give it to God. If you read the New Testament, like in Romans, it says in Romans 6 that we are supposed to give the members of our body to God and overgive it to Him as, it says, the weapons of righteousness, so that that God can use your body for good, because I speak through my body. I have gestures through my body. Your body is something that God has given you. And if you start the day with Jesus, start with a good rest. Work on it that you get good rest. I know we all have our sometimes troubles with sleeping. I'm certainly one of them. But it's one of the things that we need to tackle and say, what is it? Why is it that keeps me awake? Some of the things that I may have to change, some habits that I have, some ways what I do the night of the day, what I use my mind for. And the thing is, sometimes we have to know how to fall asleep. Maybe the late night news are not the best thing to fall asleep. Maybe it is reciting the word of God. Oh, that sounds so true. But maybe that's what we need to fill our minds in. With Psalm 23, and said, the Lord, you are my shepherd. All the cares that I have right now, all the worries that I have right now, I cannot change any of that. But I know you're my shepherd, and you will lead me through. And come tomorrow, and the meeting that I have tomorrow, and the consultation that I have tomorrow, it's in your hands. And I learn in the evening to commit my heart and my worries and my cares to. And then rise with praise. What a good thing. When you get up in the morning, train yourself that the first thoughts are dedicated to Him who deserves all of our praise. Psalm 5:3, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectant. Psalm 59:16, I will sing of your strength in the morning, and I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. Psalm 143, verse 8, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I have entrusted my life. And on and on. You have psalms that talk about the morning and the importance of the morning, that when I well rested, I wake up in the morning and dedicate the first thoughts to give God thanks. And you can do it in a very inventive way. So you can go into your backyard and just have a cup of coffee and say, God, thank you for this one. If there's sunshine out, you praise Him for that. If there's rain, you love the patter of the rain and say, God, thank you that you water the ground. You listen to the birds. You can do so many things in the morning that already sets the stage for the day. It's a new beginning. It's a new day. Listen, I talk about an every ordinary day, not the Sunday morning when we have all. An ordinary day. How about starting that way? Instead of grumping up, get my coffee, and then I have to go in the car and go to work. Great start to that. How about starting to praise God, thank Him, maybe get up a little bit earlier to have that time and to speak to Him and go out and enjoy the first sun rays. Maybe you just seek seclusion. Maybe, wow, what a radical start. Maybe you kneel down for a couple of minutes, put yourself to God and says, here I am. Here's my day. Here's all the appointments. Here's who I am. God, I just am here. I want to devote myself. And then casting all your cares about the day on Jesus after you praised Him. Pray for the things that you have on a calendar. Pray for the people that you may meet. Pray for the decisions that you may have to make that day. Just casting all the cares on Him. Pray for yourself. Pray for the people in your life. Pray for the things that you're facing in the day. Ask Him to remove all fear and to fill you with the love of the life that God has given. Do you love your life? Do you love your life? Do you love it in such a way that you know that your shepherd loves you and that He will live your life with you? Call out on specific concerns. Pray about the things that worry you. Tell God what you're hoping. Ask for the strength to deal with failure. Ask God for temptations that you struggle with. Bring it all to Him before you get into. Ask Him for faith. Ask Him to die to yourself, to deny yourself. Ask Him to fill you with the love that you need for the people. The next step would be schedule appointments. Schedule some appointments with Jesus. You know, everybody else has a point in your calendar, don't they? I mean, if you meet somebody during the day, you have put in the calendar because their time is dedicated. How about dedicating some time for Jesus? Let me tell you one thing. If you don't do it, you might not do it at all. It is the regular, what Spurgeon, one of the preachers, you know, prince of preachers in his days, he often said, I have the fear that if you don't pray at regular times, that you don't pray. You know, it's often that we need to schedule those times during the day, 5 minutes every hour. I mean, you can be very inventive in how you want to do this, but make appointments how you want to touch base with Jesus in a very brief time during the day, every hour, 5 minutes, or 3 times or 5 times or 7 times a day. Different ways how you can schedule it depending how your day is, but make those appointments. Write them down and say, God, I want to meet you at lunch. God, I want to meet you at 3 o'clock. I want to meet you at right after I've entered my office or my workbench. I just want to meet you right there. Have a short moment of prayer. Make those appointments during the day. And there are several ways of doing it. You can, and many ways how you can do it best, but you have to find the way how you can do it. Take 5 minutes, as I said, every hour. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Listen to good music. Recite the Bible verse. Take one Bible verse with you that you have with you every at those moments. You will be establishing habits, turning your mind. That's a habit you need to establish on a regular basis. And then listen, observe, respond. As you now walk through the day, I bet as you have already started the day with praise, cast all your cares about Him. As you schedule these appointments during the day when you meet with Jesus and have a brief talk about what happened, your mind will be alert. Listen, observe, respond. Jesus might want to talk to you. He might want to meet you through another person, through the unexpected interruption in your work, through some of the things that just come up that you didn't count on. All of a sudden, you may ask God, what do I need to understand? It is about learning to live your day through the eyes of Jesus. How would He look at this? How would He look at my... How would He understand my boss? How would He relate to that difficult... And then listen also what you hear. Some people may share something to you and something with you that might need response. And somebody comes to you and say, and shares some need. Maybe it's a time where you say, can I pray for you? Would you mind if I bring this to you? You live attentive. You live open. You live with an open mind with the things that happen to you that are not coincidental, that are just there where God is with you through this day. Every occurrence and interruption might be an opportunity to bless. And maybe that's another habit to do, that when you meet people, when you bump into them, bless them. You don't have to speak it out loud. It's awkward. But bless them. Bless them in your heart. The Lord bless you. May God grant you to become the person that you are. Don't you think that changes your attitude to some people? You can meet them with that and say, God bless you. The Lord may change your life and may you meet Him. And then when the day comes to an end, you take 10 or 15 minutes before bedtime and review and examine it. Give thanks for the successes. Evaluate failures. What could you do different? What could you have done different? Ask Jesus for His input. See, Jesus is way more interested. He desires. And how appropriate to end the day with this short reflection on how did today go? How did I act? And do it without beating yourself up. I mean, that's a tendency that we sometimes have. And we beat ourselves up. Oh, it was all horrible. And I did not do this right. And do this. Just imagine Jesus sitting with you there. And you would say, stop it. I love you. I love you. Yeah, it wasn't right. Yes, it was. You could have done it better. But don't beat yourself. You're valuable. But take me with you and learn from it. Practice confession. Confess with your mouth and say, God, I did not react properly to my son, to my daughter, to my husband. I said wrong thing. Forgive me. Thank you, Jesus, for being such a good friend. And finally, if that all went actually fairly well, why not do it again tomorrow? Why not tomorrow and start the next day and live with? Could that be a good habit to learn and to live in this rhythm of spending a day with Jesus? Wouldn't that make the recipe for a good life when I live never alone, but always with him as a good friend with whom I can walk through the days, talk to him. And then maybe comes even this old song, and he walks with me, and I go with him through the days of my life as a good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything. He cares for me. My deepest needs, he will hold me in his hand, protect me. And even if it goes to the valley of the shadow of death, then I will live forever and ever. Father, you desire nothing more for us than to live full. But we also understand that this life is only to be found. Faith and trust is anchored in. If we trust that you are capable of leading us through, if we trust that you are competent, face all the things that we live, that you know better than anyone else what to do, how to respond. God, it's only there that we find contentment and rest. Live with the good. God, bring us to the place where we no longer feel we need to defend or where we need to worry who is going to take care of us and who's going to notice us. Bring us to a place, God, where we are free to be recognized by other people rather than be recognized. God, free us from this entrenched desire to have it our way and release outcomes. God, help us to make sure that we trust in you and that you will work your way in us. God, help us to become those who live this life of contentment, of faith, of self-denial, and of trust. A life of love reflects to others what it means to become. Will you do this for us, God, as we pray this?